People are getting real sassy up in Duluth. Welcome back to the show, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Every day here from noon to three on My Talk. All right, we remember the story that Bradley told us a couple of days ago. Hopefully you were listening and you heard about billionaire Kathy Cargill.
She sounded like fun at parties.
She, can you explain the story a little bit in case people don't remember
that? Yeah, she bought up a bunch
that?
Of property and people asked her questions. And she's like, let them eat cake. Mind your own business, plebs. And then when the Wall Street Journal caught up with her, she's like, those people keep asking questions. I'm out. I ain't doing anything for that small-minded community. So she basically crapped on Duluth.
Yeah.
And the world was like, hey, honey, that's not very nice.
In the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Like, not a local paper to talk to.
And in the process, she reminded us all of a saying, which goes something to the effect of, by the way, she used it incorrectly, who peed in his Cheerios?
Yeah. Not. He peed in his own Cheerios.
Yeah. The incorrect usage involved her saying the mayor peed in his the mayor peed in his Cheerios. She's like, there's a saying about peeing in your Cheerios. Well, he peed in his Cheerios right there. Talking about the fact that he
asked her
questions about what her intentions were, buying several parcels of very, very valuable land and then removing the homes from them. He just had some questions in a community that is facing a housing crunch. So, you know, far be it from him to do his job. She was a little concerned and involved Cheerios. And then it was like, I don't even think you use that right, Kathy.
Yeah, definitely not right. So he just had questions. Well, he's getting sassy. He posted, Mayor Reinhart from Duluth, Roger Reinhart, posted a picture on social media of a pancake and a piece of bacon with the caption, for the record, I'm more of a pancake guy. And then hashtag, if you know, you know.
That's cute.
That's pretty funny. Now there's even more that's going on. A group of Duluthians has started the Duluth Cheerio Challenge in response to her statements. So they sent out a press release on Monday that called on the community to donate as many boxes of Cheerios or other health cereal between Wednesday and Friday, and they're going to be donated to the Duluth food shelves, food pantries.
That's delightful.
And that is funny, and it brings attention to the ridiculousness of the situation and her statements, and also it's doing something good.
Well, also, what I love about all this is, isn't General Mills in some way connected to Cargill? Like, there has to be a connection between these two companies.
You're right, because what is Cargill?
Well, Cargill essentially originally was like grain and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I sound real smart right now. But they transport a lot of grain.
And I just feed feel for like animals, but we don't know what else.
Supply chain stuff. They're probably in some way connected to General Mills. I got to believe.
No, there has to be. Right. Now, she hasn't said anything more about her plans. She did buy 20 properties on Park Point, which is it's a great area of Duluth where it's very beach like. And, you know, these are nice homes.
Yeah.
That it's in a nice area. And there were 20. That she bought.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have questions.
Yeah. And like, I think it's okay to ask questions.
Right. It's like, this is our community and he's the mayor.
I don't know if anybody has said this, but what it seemed like to me, because everybody's like dancing around it, but I'm like, I'm assuming she just wanted to do whatever she wanted to do and was going to build up and develop the land for her and her family and thought maybe I'll throw in a couple of like, you know, public use things that people can take advantage of. So I don't look like a total, you know,
that I'm buying up
recluse.
All the land. Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like she just didn't like being asked questions about what she was doing. Just like, I kind of feel like there's no expectation that people can't ask you questions.
It ultimately
tells us a lot about how she sees the world.
And that she's probably never been told no or questioned.
Coming from a woman who owns a fleet of McLaren luxury vehicles that probably retail for like $250,000 each. I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is filthy rich. And She was appalled that someone would ask her a question. Plus, zoning laws, have we ever heard of that? Like, if you're, she made the claim in the Wall Street Journal also that, like, I was just going to build a pickleball court for people and maybe a swimming pool or whatever it is she said. Like, some community buildings, which, but, like, even when you do that, there's a long process that you need to go through to build private club.
It also seemed like maybe she didn't actually plan on doing any of that. And it was sort of backtracking to fill the narrative. Like, oh, I was, you know, like,
I was going to build a park.
You ticked me off. So now I'm not going to buy you the big present I told you I was going to buy or that you didn't know I was going to buy you. And you're like, oh, shucks, I shouldn't have been a jerk.
Oh my gosh.
Now I'm not going to get that big present you were probably not really ever going to buy me.
Yeah, I feel like she just threw that in there for the Wall Street Journal to look like a good person.
Yeah.
But, you know, how about the people that sold their homes? She bought them for more than what they were worth.
I will say, the thing I loved about that Wall Street Journal story is they were like, not everybody is displeased with Kathy's behavior. Bob,
the other rich people in town,
the Bob who sold his house, which was going to go for $500,000 for a cool $800,000, thinks it's not that bad. I'm like, of course, he just got more money than he probably would have had he not sold to Kathy. And look, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I would, if somebody came up to me and said, I'd like to give you almost twice what your house is probably worth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'd but be people like, might I have will. Questions about why you're doing that.
To 20 different homes.
Yeah. And by the way, that's, but wait, there's more. She was planning on, and is still, I think, planning on buying other homes. Or there are people that are interested in selling to her.
Yeah, and before she does, the mayor had some simple questions like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and also, this story kind of plays so beautifully because it allows the mayor to be the sort of populist. And Kathy gets to play the role of villain, like rich villain, which she's not out anything.
No.
She's in the Wall Street Journal counting her money.
That's correct, yeah. So if you want to read about this story in the Cheerio Challenge, you can go to our show links page. It's all there for you.
What if Sacha Baron Cohen asked you to do something?
Oh, no. No.
What?
Okay. Yeah, what is it?
Dawn, she thought I was going to say something else.
I was scared for a second.
I know. You don't trust me. Rebel Wilson says she was asked by Sacha Baron Cohen to do something very inappropriate on a work set. We're going to tell you what it is. Remember, we've talked this whole story, Mike, about
I remember
his behavior.
Yep.
Well, we know what that behavior actually was and what Sacha Baron Cohen inappropriately, Rebel says, he asked her to do when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Hey, my talkers, Bradley here for my good friends at Your Boat Club. You don't have to own a bunch of property along a lake to get on the water this summer like that lady we were just talking about. With my friends at Your Boat Club, you can be on the water in no time. And I know you're looking outside. It looks nice, but it's real cold. Look, now is not the time you're going to be on the water, but now is the time you're going to get yourself ready to be on the water this season. Why? Because Your Boat Club is offering their pre-season enrollment, which is giving you some of the best rates, not some of, the best rates of the season. So now is the time. Let's get that taken care of so that this summer, all you're going to have to do is roll up to your favorite lake, walk up to the dock, get on your boat, and enjoy a beautiful day on the water. Thanks to my friends at Your Boat Club. Head to yourboatclub.com. See you on the water.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
About some of these allegations against Sacha Baron Cohen. Hi, this is The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1. Rebel Wilson brought up some things in, well, they will be in her new book, and we've learned over this last few days that the guy she doesn't like in Hollywood, I'll say it that way, is Sacha Baron Cohen. She worked with him on a movie, The Brothers Grimsby, and she did not have a good time.
Yeah, and I just want to have, like, the media conversation. Like, we talk about the talking of the story, right?
Yes.
Because she is revealing, or we're finding out what this chapter is about, because people got an excerpt, and it paints a really bizarre exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want to have a conversation and point a finger at TMZ. Because
I'm wagging my finger at them.
You should, for a very specific reason, and we'll get to that. But I want to start with people, because they're the ones that actually reported out this story.
Mm.
And then, of course, some of the tabloids like started poking their fingers into this, or poking their nose, and they were getting involved.
Yeah.
Okay. So People had an excerpt wherein, remember, the whole chapter is apparently called Sacha Baron Cohen is a bad word.
Yeah. As something. My mom would say, this is clean. A-hole, B-hole, C-hole.
Oh my God. That's not where I thought you were going. I thought she said whole, or no, what was it, Mike?
Oh, she says butt ass. She says all kinds of things.
Okay. So basically that he's a jerk. That's the part of the, or that's the chapter that she writes mm-hmm. about. And in that chapter, she talks about the time they were together filming the movie The Brothers Grimsby, as you said, which was described as a raunchy 2016 R-rated comedy that he co-wrote, starred in, and produced. Now, she says when they began filming in her book, quote, it felt like every time I'd speak to Sacha Baron Cohen, he'd mention he wanted me to get naked in a future scene. I was like, haha, I don't do nudity, Sasha. And then she goes on to say, one day while filming at a soccer stadium in Cape Town, SBC, she calls him SBC. Does he go by SBC? Is that like a thing? I didn't know. Anyway, she writes, SBC summons me via production assistant saying I needed to film an additional scene. Okay, we're going to film this extra scene, he says. Then he pulls down his pants and says very matter-of-factly, okay, I want you to blank your blank up my blank. It involves a finger and an exit door of the human anatomy. And she says, and I'm like, what? No. She continues in her book saying, I was now scared. I wanted to get out of there. So I finally compromised. I slapped him on the butt and improvised a few lines as the character. I have so many questions about this exchange.
Right.
Least of all, this is a movie scene.
Yes.
Movie scenes are usually like laid out. You're going to do this. You walk here. There are 50 people manufacturing things to get to the perfect point where the film's going to roll and you're going to do a thing. This sounds like literally she showed up and had no idea what was going to go on a particular day. And I'm like, what are these people filming? Like, don't you have to, like, I know it's Sacha Baron Cohen and he is a unique filmmaker.
It's improv. A lot of his movies are improv.
But then that begs a lot of questions. Like when he says, when he drops his pants and says, stick the thing with the thing, is that a normal thing?
I think so for him. I mean, I've pretty much seen all except the Brothers Grimsby.
No, you were telling me about a scene in a movie and I was like, that was in a movie?
Oh, yeah,
I haven't seen
any Sacha
Baron Cohen. Other than like
his haven't?
Like serious roles. I've seen him in like Sweeney Todd and stuff. And,
really? You haven't seen Borat or Borat 2 or
I don't
the
like,
other one?
Can I tell you, to be quite honest?
Yeah.
I get so uncomfortable with those kinds of movies because I have the uncomfortability that the audience or that the people
secondhand
involved.
Secondhand embarrassment.
I can't, like, okay. I just like.
Ooh. That's fair. Yeah.
So I can't watch them. But anyway, you were telling me about a scene where I was like, they filmed that?
Oh, and that's kind of like just like outside of the discussion about whether or not it was right or wrong. He is known for this. It's what his comedy is.
Yeah.
Like he is usually, it's like a prank show with a plot around it. So he's with other, you know, people that don't know, they sign releases to be on camera, but a lot of times it's all improv by him. Now, some of them are script, like it's half scripted and half not.
Well, it just seems like there's a lot of unknowns. And
he pushes the envelope.
Well, clearly. And again, like anytime someone says they're uncomfortable, I don't want them to be uncomfortable.
That's right.
If somebody does, if she felt like that was an assault against her, then we need to have a conversation about it. He, I will say, has said, and this is what explains his response through his attorneys the other day that we read, mm-hmm. which we didn't know what the story was.
Yeah.
But we've since found out where they said we have
in a very crude way through TMZ's title of their
and
article.
I was going to say, I want to take them to task.
Me too.
Because when I opened it up, it said, well, I don't even want to say.
Well, we said it in a roundabout way.
Rebel Wilson claims Sacha Baron Cohen asked her to stick a thing.
Yeah.
And but like blatantly, like on the, and I just about lost it. I was like, you guys, can we be an adult about this? Because what she's alleging is that she felt uncomfortable and that he's a jerk. And so I need to understand the context of this and not in a juvenile way.
And they needed to be more clear about the fact that it was a scene in the movie.
Yes.
Because they just took the People article and they reduced it to that, which is very
unclear.
Well,
it made it sound like he showed up one day on set and pulled down his pants and was like, do this.
In another room.
Yeah. Like it was a, not that, again, if that wasn't supposed to happen and she was uncomfortable, like all of that, I want to honor it and I want us to have the conversation.
Yeah.
Because this is all out of context. But to your point, to take that little snippet and just blow a bunch of smoke up it, you know, or excuse me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to.
Yes. I think it's a disservice to her.
Yeah.
Also, because it.
It trivializes it.
It really does. And in context, like within this, in the statement that he made, they said that they had several witnesses and crew members and writers saying that was in the script and she knew about it. And all the crew members that were there on the set, that doesn't mean that creepy things can't happen right in plain sight.
But it's more nuanced conversation.
It is. It's more of a, is this appropriate in a workplace?
Again, I would just like to acknowledge that for anybody to think that this is a normal workplace wherein somebody is going to drop their pants and ask you something inappropriate, that's a bizarre reality.
It is, but it's why people go see his movies, really.
Sure.
I mean, because, and I would even argue, yes, I am not denying that she felt uncomfortable and she wants to speak out about it and she felt like it wasn't appropriate. But I would also argue that, do you know who you're working with?
Well, and here's what I would...
What you're getting involved in is all the other movies that you have seen where he does this stuff.
Well, what I would also say is it sounds like maybe we need to have a conversation with how he operates on set so that people aren't uncomfortable that way.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to do this, let's set up some boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, we don't know
and
the whole story.
That's a union's job, too.
We don't. Well, that's the other thing. There's a union involved with this.
Come on now.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about dreams.
Yes.
With Dawn, right here on My Talk 107.1. Hey, My Talkers, Bradley here for my good friends at Alight. I love Alight. It's my favorite organization for a very specific reason. Their motto, one of many, is doing the doable, which means they attempt to solve problems right now, where they can, how they can. It doesn't mean they solve all the problems. Doesn't mean they solve the whole problem. It means they help people where they are when people need it most in any way that's actually possible right now. So people feel connected, people don't feel alone, and people know that there's someone else out there in the world there to help. And increasingly in this world, we need to help more people. And Alight is able to do that work only because of your support. So here's what I want you to do. Head to wearealight.org, learn about how you can support their work, either through a financial contribution or your own support. Head to wearealight.org today. And thank you.
It's Wednesday. Welcome to the Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. And that's not a ho-hum. It means it's 1:30 on Wednesday, which is the time that I interpret dreams.
Why don't you tell me about your dream?
I was back in high school, and I was supposed to take a test.
I was making it work again.
I was driving my car, and I couldn't control it. Then I fell off a cliff with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Do you know what this dream means?
Dreamweaver Dawn.
Help me.
Okay.
I'm dreaming and I don't know what it means.
Oh, okay.
That's what listeners say to you on a regular basis.
They do.
And you take time out of your very busy day to explain in actual words what the hell is going on in their psyche. Dawn, actually, you're not doing anything psychiatric. So please go to your doctor.
That's true.
You ready for some dreamies?
I am.
Dream. Okay. My friend Nicole sent the following message.
Okay.
We're not really friends, but I want to create that
image.
You're
her friend because she listens to you on the radio.
And I would like to be her friend. And now I'm going to feel a little closer to her because she shared this. Dawn, I was staying at my deceased grandmother's house with my children. I opened the front door in the middle of the night, not sure why. And there was a police officer standing in the rain. I couldn't hear what he was saying due to the storm. So I ushered him in and started closing the windows in the living room so, you know, we could talk. The officer wanted me to take the batteries out of a helmet. I seemed to know what he was talking about, even though it was a strange request. My kids woke up and were coming into the living room. This is when I started questioning whether he was a real police officer.
Uh-oh.
He became angry and started shooting at me. Don't worry, listeners, this is a dream. As I ran out of the front door, I woke up with my heart racing a million miles a minute. What does it mean?
Oh, my gosh. That sounds terrifying. First, you think somebody is who they are, and then you question that person as, but you know what, Nicole? It's all a part of yourself. So let's break this down here. You're at your grandmother's house in the dream, and that is a representative of your higher self. Okay, so this is a part of you that's most connected to what your soul's path is on.
Oh, that's very deep.
Okay, so it's kind of like that's the part of your brain that kind of knows the reason why you're here doing things on Earth. You
is
know?
That part ever tell us why we're here?
Excuse me?
What? Like, does it ever tell us what it knows?
Well, it depends on only whether or not dream? You have a connection to, you know, your inner self.
Oh.
If you meditate a lot, if you, I don't know, hear voices that are, well, that might require some medication, but let's just say if you can tap into yourself and know what your soul's purpose is, that is a very elevated consciousness that I don't think a lot of us can do.
I'm not there yet.
Okay. All right. So you're at your grandmother's house and this is your higher self. Your children are there, which are your ideas that are, if they're not babies, that means that they're ideas that you had that you developed in your life into something that was a creation. Okay.
Okay.
Then,
so again, not about the people. It's about me.
The part of
these
yourself,
are ideas.
That's correct. So then this police officer comes to the door in the night. I don't talk about this a lot, but whenever things are dark in your dream, that means that you have a lack of awareness in your conscious life as to what's going on. Mm. So this is actually a really good message from your soul and your higher self saying, hey, I want to make you aware of something that's happening. And this has to do with your inner authority, who is sort of, that's the part of you that's regulating what kind of information you bring in and out.
That's
and
the
what
police
you
officer?
Let, yes, what you let affect you. Hmm. So they either do a good job or they don't do a good job. They meaning that part of yourself. So you're also afraid of, you know, it's the rain, it's a storm. This has caused you an inner turmoil. And so your higher self is saying, guess what? Your inner authority, that person within you, isn't doing a great job right now because it's threatening to change you. Okay. So
that's why it's shooting at you.
Yeah. And so change is death is change in a dream. So you are not a victim of life, okay? You need to set more boundaries in your life. So you need to strengthen your inner authority so that what you're bringing in and letting affect you won't affect you in a permanent way.
Okay.
So
I think that was probably very helpful.
Sense.
Very deep dream.
It is a deep dream. And Nicole, the only person that knows about what I'm talking about is you. So
no
you
pressure,
know what
Nicole.
The change is.
No pressure, Nicole.
Okay.
There's no homework and there's no test. But yeah. If you do hear something that speaks to you, Nicole, you know, thank Dawn, but also feel free to let her know in the emails. Now, Chris has got a dream for you, Dawn?
Yes.
You want to hear it?
I do.
How bad?
Really bad.
Hi, dear Dawn, I had a dream the other night where my family organized an intervention requiring me to go to alcohol treatment. I cannot remember what happened if I said no.
All right. That's a short and sweet dream. Thank you for that, Chris. So I think that this dream is about, it's about you. First of all, your family is you. Everybody in the dream is always about the dreamer. Okay. So the family is, you've got your part of yourself that creates things. You have, you know, siblings, which would be, you know, parts of yourself that are like certain aspects of yourself that are represented in them. So I think this is about the kind of knowledge that you're taking in that you know isn't good for you. Now, our dreams are and our brains are very dramatic. So I would say, are you spending a lot of time like watching streaming shows all day to sort of escape from your life?
Or
that's
maybe
the alcohol.
Listening to this show?
Oh, now, this is good for you. Listening to this show in particular is good for your brain.
So we're not the alcohol treatment
no.
she needs?
No. Okay. But I think that this is your... See, it's very dramatic. It could just be like, hey, you probably should be doing that stuff that you promised yourself you'd work on, but you're just like, I don't know, zoning out and not using your full potential.
It's part of herself calling out another part of herself.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. So what kind of things are you
Stop
doing?
Stop being lazy. Or his self. Or her self. I don't know, Chris.
Chris,
their self.
Yes.
Whatever part of you, Chris, feels...
Are you gaming a lot, Chris?
Oh, that's you speaking, Dawn.
Oh, whoops. Dawn. Yeah. Okay.
Tiffany would like to now give you a dream.
Yes. You she has two dreams.
Oh, okay. Tiffany, look at you,
these.
Girl. You get two
or
dreams.
Maybe I'll save one. For...
Yeah, why don't we do one? I think we got
we'll
time for
do
one.
We'll one, yeah.
Tiffany says, dear Dawn, why am I having dreams about forgetting to feed my fish? Sometimes the fishbowl is dark and I'm not sure if he's dead or alive. Sometimes I feel scared to put my hand over the bowl and feed him. Thanks, girl.
Tiffany.
That's kind of scary.
Okay,
but...
so this is any type of animal in a dream, unless there's some specific animals out there that mean other things. But this is a habit that you have, and it actually has to do with your spirituality.
Okay.
Because fish in a dream are spirituality. So if you're fishing in a pond, that means you're like searching your soul for a deeper meaning to life. And whatever that spirituality is, it could just be, you know, you could be an atheist and it could be just connecting with the higher part of yourself. But this is a habit that you nurture and it's being threatened with change. Okay. So you have a normal routine, Tiffany, and something has interrupted your routine. And these are habits that you feel like add to yourself that are good for you, that something's happened. It's all about that change because you're afraid of this change because the fish is dead in the dream.
Oh, God.
Okay. And right. That fish has something to do with your spirituality. That could be like, hey, I used to meditate every day at 4 p.m., but now I have to, you know, do something for a friend.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So dig deep, Tiffany. It'll probably make sense to you. Dawn, thank you so much for sharing wisdom of the nighttime. Well, I guess you could sleep during the day.
Wisdom of the nighttime.
Wisdom
Maybe
of the
we
night.
Should rename the segment Wisdom of the Nighttime.
Dawn McLean, wisdom giver of the night.
Yes. Which the night is, I just told you.
Dawn at dark. Oh, nighttime means you're confused about something.
It's a lack of awareness.
Yeah.
Yes. You're in the dark.
You're in the dark.
Yes.
Which means dawn at dark Dawn is in the dark.
Yeah, dawn at dark.
But you're not in the dark when it comes to dreams. So thank you for interpreting these dreams. If listeners want to get their dreams interpreted, what do they do?
Well, go to our show links page. And not show links, go to our page. I always say that. It's a page on our website that says The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. And our email is on there. When you email me, I don't need to know anything about what's really happening in your life. I actually don't read that part because I feel like it screws up the interpretation that I have for you. So no offense or anything, but it doesn't help me. So keep your dream within like a paragraph, sum up your dream and just, send it to and put dream in the subject line so that I can sort my emails better. That's just for me. So there you go.
When we come back on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, Diddy is in the news all week long. Why? Well, there was a federal raid. We've talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk about it again, mostly because his attorneys have released a statement, which, surprise, surprise, deflects a lot of the blame away from him for the crimes he might be about to be accused of. We'll talk about that statement and what we think of it when we return right here on My Talk 107.1.
Hey, it's Bradley. Have you been thinking about window treatments for your home, but you've been holding out for a good deal? Well, I have good news. That deal is happening at Little Blind Spot with the Hunter Douglas Style and Savings Event. Now through April 1st, you can get a $75 rebate per shade when you purchase 4 to 10 Hunter Douglas Duet Honeycomb Shades, Pirouette Window Shadings, Silhouette Window Shadings, or Vignette Modern Roman Shades, including Power View Automation. Other exclusions and restrictions apply, so ask for details. Hunter Douglas window treatments are a smart investment. Apart from the design improvements, there are many practical benefits. They improve the lifespan of your furniture, the quality of sleep you get at night, and even the amount you pay in energy bills. Every penny you can save counts these days, and so does supporting local. Visit the Little Blind Spot showroom in downtown Hopkins today or online at littleblindspot.com. And don't forget to tell them Bradley sent you.
A little blind spot, we're big on service.
Welcome back to The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn here on My Talk 107.1. You know, we like to talk about the leading stories of the day. And yes. I know it's just a dark, heavy story, but everybody in my circle, I shouldn't say everybody, but quite a few people in my circle have been talking about the story because it really has just rocked headlines for the last week. And
yes,
well, actually a lot longer than that, but most recently because of a federal raid. We're talking about Sean Combs, apparently the target of a sex trafficking investigation by Homeland Security, which led to these raids. And he's finally responded, Dawn, at least through an attorney. And as you can imagine,
right,
we're going to have an opinion about that statement.
Okay. I have a feeling that it's going to gaslight us and divert attention away from the real issues.
Basically, I don't even need to read it now because you just...
Oh, well, I still want to hear it.
No, I know. I'm just saying you're spot on.
Okay.
Because it's exactly what his attorney, Aaron Dyer, said in a statement. Calling, by the way, almost predictably... I mean, you could almost predict it, like write this statement before it came out and be pretty spot on because he calls it a witch hunt. So the investigation against Diddy, which, by the way, we don't know the full details of yet. They seem to because they know it's a witch hunt. So that's interesting.
Okay.
Right. Homeland Security raids his mega mansions in L.A. and Miami this week. And his attorney says the following, quote, yesterday there was a gross misuse of military level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs' residences. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but spoke to and cooperated with authorities. Despite media speculation, neither Mr. Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested, nor has their ability to travel been restricted in any way. Yeah. But there is a federal investigation that is currently taking things out of his home and properties around the country. Just because they haven't done all of it yet.
They have to have the evidence to do it. They cannot. They have to, you know, have a lot of evidence. There's so many cases when you listen to true crime podcasts like we do, where they're like, OK, we don't have enough evidence yet to put this person in jail or indict them.
They go on to further deflect by saying the media knew before him, as there were already helicopters there. So, like, you're focusing on the fact the media got tipped off that there was going to be a raid. Okay, I doubt it, but maybe they were. So
they're also police helicopters. That's what I assume they were.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. But my whole point is, like, I kind of don't care. It's the, we live in a media world. Like, it sucks. And I wouldn't want to be the target of any federal investigation because they're going to use all of the forces that they have at their disposal. And I bet it was very uncomfortable. And I also bet it was terrifying. And I also bet that the people that were connected to Sean Combs who had to deal with that were really, like, stressed out about it. Totally get it.
Except for the picture of that one girl in the car that's laughing. But
I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
But still, my point is, that's the way the world works.
I don't know.
And also, I think if the federal government is doing that in order to find out whether or not sex trafficking is going on, I feel like that's okay for them to do their job.
Yeah, I don't know the training that is involved in a federal raid, but I don't think that they are nice about it. I think that they go in for a certain reason looking for things, and it's not something that sit there and open a drawer and they go through those things and then they shut the drawer. It's going to be a mess.
They're not bringing all of that to bear for nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that he won't have his day in court and that there won't be opportunities for him, which, by the way, he is employing a very astute attorney to act on his behalf, probably a whole team of attorneys. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he is a very successful man with many, many resources. It is not to say there aren't injustices in the world, but currently we have no reason to believe that this is anything but a federal investigation in the pursuit of allegations of sex trafficking and a lot of other heinous behavior. So until we have proof to the contrary, I'd say let the federal government do their job and stop trying to make us all feel bad for being curious about what's actually going on.
True.
Because clearly somebody's not telling the truth.
Right. When I did the video I saw, I will say this. I don't know what his son said to them. We don't know the interaction that happened between the federal agents and his sons. I did see a video where one of his sons, I think it was Justin, was being pulled out of the home with his hands above his head, like handcuffed above here, really roughly. And I watched that many times.
Okay.
Not that I'm like the watchdog for, you know, I'm not trying to, I'm just saying it seemed like it was unnecessary.
Okay.
So, you know, that, all of these things can be true.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't have the full context of that story.
Right.
But I also know that there are abuses and injustices in the world that we can talk about and adjudicate. But what we're talking about and adjudicating right now is the statement from this attorney, which is trying to get us to pay attention to anything but the allegations, the credible allegations, not by one, but by several people that probably led to that investigation. And if you want to have a conversation, not you, I'm just saying people want to have a conversation about the federal government and law enforcement, I am all here for that conversation and like the over militarization of, you know,
raids,
like things like we can have all that conversation. But getting us to get sidetracked on those conversations in this moment.
Yes.
Specifically by the attorney who's paid by a person who's being accused of this behavior. I'm not necessarily going to focus on the deflection they want me to engage in. I'm going to still wait back here and see if there are going to be any charges filed. And
definitely.
And if those victims are going to get their days in court.
Right.
Because that's what we forget. And I get it. It's totally valid to have all of those other conversations. But it's also valid to point out that attorneys are paid to defend their clients. And that's what it seems like he's doing here. It's to try to deflect people from paying attention to what he's being accused of.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I think that this is a really serious thing, obviously. And they're taking it seriously, which is good. No matter what the outcome is, I'm glad that, you know, the federal government has realized that this case isn't just, you know, something that is I don't know that they wouldn't treat this way.
Yeah.
This is, there's drugs involved. There's a whole bunch of claims that have been made.
Well, really, really terrifying claims, right? Yeah. And again, it's not that I think, look, all I'm here to do is to point out in this moment that, like, this attorney's job is to not get us to pay attention to mm-hmm. what he's actually being accused of. And they would probably prefer that the public has no participation in this experience.
Oh, for sure.
But that's not how things work.
Yeah, it's not, when you're a high profile person.
Well, when you're a very successful person who, you know, has built an audience and a following, I mean, those people are going to start to care about things. And also as a society, I think we care about making sure that people aren't able to be. Because here's the whole story with the Sean Combs thing. I want them to get to the bottom of this because it sounds very familiar to stories that we've covered in the past.
Yeah.
In very similar ways. Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's like this network of people who are involved in some really nefarious behavior, and they're able to persist because of power and influence for mm-hmm. a number of years.
That's true. Yes. Another story, just briefly here, is that he reportedly agreed a deal to sell his stake in Revolt TV. He did step down from the role as chairman in November after those sexual assault allegations came into play with Cassie, his ex-girlfriend. And then so he sold his remaining shares in the last 24 hours. So he stepped down as the chairman, and now to an anonymous buyer has sold his part in Revolt TV.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know, you know, if he's... having lots of lawyers defend you is expensive, no matter how much money you have, especially at this high profile.
You're going to need a lot of money, and he's going to need a lot of money for this defense. But it sounds like he's got a lot of power and influence and a lot of high-priced attorneys who are willing to do that work and are currently doing it to the media, calling it a witch hunt. But when we come back, we are going to lighten things up a bit, Dawn. We're going to talk about food. Specifically, what are you eating for Easter?
I know.
Easter dinner's a thing. Let's talk about it when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.